In the last week, social media blew up with news regarding the unwritten petrodollar deal between the US and Saudi Arabia, which has been the bedrock of Tobler's dollar's dominance coming to an end. The demise of the dollar has been a regular feature of discussion in geopolitics in the last decade. On the one hand, we have China and Russia calling for alternatives, and on the other hand, you have US commentators questioning the dollar's continued dominance. What does this mean for the US as a global power? Will this be an end of the American empire? To discuss all these questions and more, I have with me Geopolity founder Adnan Khan. Adnan, how are you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Shabi, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Adnan. Alhamdulillah. So let's start off right away. And I think the best place to start would be if you can explain what the petrodollar is and how it came to shape the world.
Okay, so the petrodollar, Shabi, its launch date, you could say, is 1974. But to understand it, we really got to start in 1945, the end of World War II. At the end of World War II, America was the global power. It was the last man standing. It played a central role in defeating the Nazis in Europe and the Japanese in the Pacific. And what America then did is it moved forward to establish an international order, the global liberal order. And that saw the birth of a number of institutions. It saw the birth of the World Bank. It saw the birth of the General Agreement on Taxes and Tariffs, which became the World Trade Organization in 1995. It saw the establishment of the IMF, and it saw the US effectively underwrite the global monetary system by making the dollar the global currency. And what that meant was because the US took payment for the war effort in gold from the Europeans, America basically had the lion's share of the world's gold reserves. So as a result, it could underwrite the global system because it had everyone's gold. So $35 an ounce was the exchange rate. So the dollar was as good as gold. So that was where we were after World War II. And everything was going okay until, as the 1960s went on and as the Vietnam War dragged on, the costs were also increasing for America to funding the Vietnam War. And what you find, Shabi, is everybody could see there seems to be an increasing amount of dollars in circulation relative to the amount of gold. And what America basically did in 1974 is it refused to convert dollars into gold or gold into dollars. So effectively, it went off the gold standard. When it did this, it really meant there's no need for anyone to hold their dollars. The only reason the world wanted dollars is because America had all the gold. Well, now that America was exchanging gold for dollars, why do you need to hold dollars? So what America did then is it made a deal with Saudi Arabia, where Saudi Arabia will sell its oil in dollars, and in return, America will provide a security guarantee for the Saudi monarchy. Now, why was this important for America? Because Saudi Arabia was in the 70s on its way to become the largest oil producer, and then later on, it actually did become the world's largest oil producer. If Saudi Arabia is only accepting payment for its oil in dollars, then this is actually a reason why the whole world should hold on to its dollars. And that system really has remained in place for the last 50 years. So the whole world needs to have a reserve of dollars because oil today is priced in dollars. And the largest oil producer in the world was only selling their oil or taking payment in dollars as well. So this is why there's always been a demand for America's domestic currency, the dollar, by the whole world.
Okay, makes sense. So why did Saudi Arabia not demand its own currency for payment? Why would it take a payment in using someone else's currency?
Well, this is the million-dollar question. Unfortunately, Shabi, if you look at Saudi Arabia or across the Gulf, you find these are tribes that happen to get into power. And over time, they happen to be residing over a huge reserve of oil. And really, they didn't think strategically. They didn't think long-term. They just thought, we got loads of money now. How do we keep our people happy? And how do we play a role in the region? Obviously, these countries don't have any technology. They're not really producing anything. They didn't really have much industry. Even the oil these countries have in the region, they need foreign companies to come and extract the oil and refine it for them. So when America came knocking and said, we'll help you, we'll give a leg up to the monarchy. And, you know, in the 70s, Shabi, the Saudis still felt, the Saudi royal family, that is, that they're not, there are threats to them. There's threats by tribes within the region. And the tribes in the Gulf region who become the monarchies there, historically, they've always been at war with each other. So what Saud did was make a very short-term, very narrow decision that suited the monarchy. They didn't think long-term. And, you know, as you said in your question, why on earth would you take payment in a foreign currency? Why would you not use your own currency? But this is the length and breadth of the thinking of most of these monarchies in the region, unfortunately.
So coming back to the news that has been floating last week, I see there has been no official announcement or even comment by a Saudi government spokesperson or the US about the end of this deal. So can we even take this seriously?
This deal, Shabi, it wasn't a treaty. It wasn't something that both, it's not like the NATO deal. It's not like some deal where they're signed, there's measurements. It's not like the Marshall Plan where there are targets to be met. This was the US sitting down with the Saudis, and it was, if you scratch our back, we scratch yours. So if Saudi didn't abide by the deal, they haven't broken any written agreement. If America didn't come and provide security or deploy the military where Saudi needed them, there was no written agreement for this. So I have got question marks as well. It's, you know, last week was the BRICS meeting, and this is all that's coming out from everyone that's pro-BRICS, everyone that wants to see the end of the dollar, everyone that wants to see a shift in the global balance of power, everyone that's pro-Russia and pro-China. They've really been pushing this online. And the nature of this agreement, it's not a formal agreement. It's not a formal treaty. There's no department that's in charge of looking at this treaty. There's no civil servant in America or in Saudi whose job is to maintain the administration around this. What I also find interesting, Shabi, there's been no impact on the foreign exchange market. If Saudi Arabia, for long the largest oil producer, is saying we are no longer going to be bound by selling oil in dollars, this will have a big impact on foreign exchange market. It'll have a big impact on the exchange rate of the dollar. It's had zero impact. So what this actually indicates to me is a couple of things. It may not actually be true. And actually, I think the landscape's changed, Shabi. We are not in the era of the Vietnam War. We are not in the era where America is spending in the middle of a war. We are not in the era where America needs help from a foreign entity to maintain its global position. The situation today, or the landscape today, Shabi, is America is the world's largest oil producer. We are in a reality today where America, the dollar is still used in over 80% of global transactions. 60% of foreign exchange reserves by central banks are in the dollar. And the SWIFT system, which is a messaging service for payments between institutions, 40% the highest, is dominated by the dollar. So in many ways, the landscape has actually changed today. And, you know, we may find out in a couple of weeks, this was all great social media chatter, but in reality, nothing's really changed between both countries.
Now, there does seem to be much talk of the dollar's demise and over the last decade. I remember this comes up almost every year by cycle. So why is this the case?
That's absolutely right. I think the reason why is, Shabi, is the talk of the demise of the dollar has been around really since the euro emerged, 1999-2000. And what you find is every time a country has been impacted by the dollar, they talk about we need to change the status quo, where the dollar is the price of everything, everything's priced in the dollar. So did the Russians, did the Chinese, even some of the Gulf leaders have actually said this in the past as well. Probably the reason why we see it at the level it is today is people can see America is using the dollar as a weapon. So especially Russia has been cut off from using the dollar. And countries like China can see this, and they can see that if that happened to them, it will be a massive problem. So as America has resorted to using the dollar as a weapon more and more, because its hard power obviously was undermined with the Iraq and Afghan wars, a number of countries now are talking more and more that America is in such an advantageous position where if this happens to them, it will be a massive problem. I think also, Shabi, just if you look at the economic fundamentals of America, its debt is going through the roof. Its deficit is going through the roof. Regularly, there's government shutdown over the government budget. You see with most countries, America has a trade deficit. So America's economy isn't looking strong the way it was in the past. A lot of American manufacturing has gone abroad as well. So there are some legitimate question marks about the ability of the dollar to maintain its stability and its position in the world. But definitely the weaponization of the dollar by America, that has really been a wake-up call for many, many countries.
So Adnan, China seems to be one nation that many consider will replace the dollar, especially if you follow the discussions around the rise of China as a potential superpower. So how do you see its prospects?
So definitely, China is becoming probably the loudest about the dollar, its position, its dominance. And China realized that as it's grown economically, it keeps bumping up against America's architecture. It keeps bumping up against the World Trade Organization. It keeps bumping up against the WTO's rules to do with copyright and intellectual property. And you have to keep in mind that although China was part of the original UN Security Council, really, China was this poor country. It began for a century of humiliation. And really, it didn't really have a say in the rules that were written. So the Chinese actually feel they're being forced to abide by a set of global rules that they actually had no say in actually defining. And now that China has grown, what China can see, a lot of these rules are in the benefit of America. So the fact that the world is using the dollar, when America sanctions a country, what that means is it's illegal for anyone in the world to trade with America's currency with that country. So when America sanctions Cuba, North Korea, Iran, and now Russia, what that now means is America would legally punish you if you trade with them in the dollar. And because all the financial architecture in the world, so this is communication between banks, software systems, all geared around the dollar, it's not as straightforward just to set up an alternative system. So China has been pushing for an alternative system. However, I feel, Shabi, there's a long way to go yet. And some of this is to do with China's economic model. For the moment, Shabi, China doesn't want its currency to be the global currency. China restricts the amount of its currency in circulation. China's currency is actually not available in most of the world. And the reason why China does this is China has always wanted to maintain a low exchange rate. So its imports, so what it exports, are cheap imports for the rest of the world. This is actually what its economic model was built upon. When China has opened up its currency, what we've seen is a lot of capital flight go out of the country. So until China doesn't change its economic model, really China is facing an uphill struggle. Now, China is trying to put in alternative financial architecture. But for example, Shabir, there's nothing stopping China when it trades with Iran to use the Iranian currency or to use the Chinese currency. The problem is if Iran gets Chinese currency, Iran can't use that currency in Iran because of the Chinese currency. If the Chinese get the Iranian currency, they can't really do much with that. So for both countries, it suits them to get a currency that they can use to buy other things. And that's where the dollar is, because global commodities and global oil specifically are all priced in dollars. So until China doesn't change its economic model, really, it's quite an ask, really, for their currency to be the alternative to the dollar. And in fact, China actually has no agenda to make its currency the global currency. China would like to see the dollar replaced. In fact, it would prefer if countries all trade with each other using their own currency. China actually doesn't have the agenda to make the yuan its own currency, the global currency.
And also, Russia has for some time been talking about the problems with the dollar's dominance. In fact, every year, if you see where this news is coming from, it's mostly the Russian outlets like Russia Today and Sputnik. So then how do you see Moscow's prospects regarding this?
So definitely Russia has done a really good job of marketing or undermining the dollar's position. But that's where its good and successful work ends. Russia's currency, the ruble, no one has any credibility in it. Nobody has any confidence in it. So it's going to be very unlikely the ruble will replace the dollar. And actually, if you look, Shabi, Russia's really been on the receiving end of a lot of the weaponization of the dollar. Russia is now the most sanctioned country in history. When Russia invaded Crimea 2014-15, America put sanctions on them. So really, since then, they've been really, really loud about we need an alternative to the dollar, about the weaponization of the dollar. The ruble won't actually be replacing it. The ruble fluctuates very widely. Regularly, the Russian government has to intervene to prop up the ruble. And in fact, Russia finds it very difficult to even force other countries to even pay it in rubles as well. So if you look at finally on this, on Russia, Shabi, Russia's reserves, where a lot of them are abroad, they've been frozen. And now the West are saying some of those funds will be used to fund the Ukraine side of the Ukraine war. So it's natural Russia would be the loudest because they've been on the receiving end of this weaponization, but their own currency is in no position really to replace the dollar.
And what about the euro or the Japanese yen?
So the euro, Shabi, when I was growing up, I was at university, late 90s, early 2000, the euro was supposed to be the dollar killer. Obviously, that never happened. It didn't even get close to the dollar or in terms of the use as a currency. And the reason why this is, Shabi, is the euro really is a regional currency. It's only used, or is mainly used in Europe. It's not really used outside Europe. The dollar is freely available around the world. In fact, the Americans have very little influence over the value of the dollar because the majority of the dollar is used outside their country. So the day-to-day value has no impact on them. The euro isn't a currency like that. The euro is just a currency for the European bloc. And that's why you find that its use is largely in Europe as well. The other problem is when there was the economic crisis in 2008, and this led to a European economic crisis, the EU intervened to the point where they actually passed laws where it's allowed for the central bank, the European Central Bank, to confiscate euros held in European accounts to bail out any bank. So as a result, you're very unlikely going to see people investing or buying into the euro or having confidence in it when the EU has the ability to confiscate your money as well.
Well, then I think that leaves the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar, pound sterling, Swedish krona, and Danish krone. What are their chances?
So Shabir, all of these currencies, even if we combine them, they still won't be able to fulfill most global transactions. I think they would only fulfill about 30% of global transactions. These are all local currencies. They are used largely locally in the country that they are currency for. So on their own or combined, they don't even make up about 30% of what's needed. To be the global currency, you've got to be able to lubricate global trade. Global trade, I think, is in the hundreds of trillions at the moment. And these currencies just don't, they're not, there's not even enough in existence for that to actually happen.
As some argue that the likeliest successor to the dollar could be an entirely new type of currency. Now we all know about two major trends in particular have the potential to produce non-national international currencies. One being the special drawing rights, also known as SDR, and second being the cryptocurrencies. So what are these and what are their prospects?
So the SDR, special drawing rights, this is the internal money of the IMF. But the way the IMF works, Shabi, is countries put money in, so they have shares, and then they can buy and sell amongst each other in financial transactions. And the currency between these countries is the SDR, special drawing rights. So this currency derives its value from a basket of the major currencies, so the dollar, the yen, the euro, the yuan, and the pound sterling. And countries have accounts at the IMF and they can credit and debit each other. So this makes it very easy for countries within the IMF, network to trade amongst each other. Now, there has been a lot of talk that this could become the global currency. The problem is at the moment, the SDR, all the architecture, is really just for countries to trade at a national level amongst each other. There's no architecture in place for individuals, for companies to be able to trade with each other at the moment. So until that's not really the case, it's going to be hard for the SDR really to replace the dollar. And then you mentioned cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are obviously all the rage at the moment. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. But we've got to keep in mind that cryptocurrencies, theoretically and practically, very different to the normal currency. In the normal currency, you have a central bank, you have a central authority, they print it, they increase money supply, they decrease money supply. In cryptocurrency, the idea is you don't have a central authority. What you have, a decentralized system using blockchain, which is a distributed ledger. So multiple computers allow for trade in cryptocurrencies to take place. So that's a completely different model altogether. So in this model, how do you increase money supply? How do you decrease money supply? There's no answers really for that at the moment. Whilst the normal system that we have, you have a central bank, they have a big say over the economy. So cryptocurrencies, Shabi, they've evolved in a very different way due to some circumstances, the dominance of central banks. The whole idea of cryptocurrency is to try and set up an alternative to central banks. Whilst if you want a global currency, either you dominate the world and you enforce your currency, or either you get everybody to agree. So these two alternative currencies, the SDR and cryptocurrency, there's a long way to go, really. There's a long way for us to go for these to be used even at local levels. So at an international level, there's even a longer journey to take it.
Yeah, so SDRs are probably something that not many people might have heard about, but cryptocurrencies is something that everyone has been talking about. And I'm sure there are a lot of questions around cryptocurrencies and digital currencies as well. But that might be a topic for a podcast some another day. Coming back to the topic, Adnan, what are CBDCs and where do they fit into this debate about the dollar?
Okay, so CBDC is a central bank digital currency. So in many ways, Shabi, the cryptocurrency was the invention of the guy who invented Bitcoin, this whole distributive system, which was decentralized. The central bank digital currency is effectively the central banker's version of a digital currency. The major difference here would be is you don't need physical money. You don't need physical cash and notes. You don't even need a debit or a credit card. What will happen is you'll have an app on your phone and you can make payment. So what this does is you don't even need banks anymore. The central bank can manage money directly. At the moment, you have central banks. They manage and lead over local banks. We as individuals deal with local banks. We don't deal with the central bank. The banks deal with the central banks. What a central bank digital currency is, it's a digital currency that has no physical presence. It's completely digital, but it removes the role of banks. So this is the direction a lot of central banks want to go. There is a lot of opposition against this as well. People feel this will make central banks very powerful. During COVID, many people felt the government had too much control. And if you have a central bank digital currency, if you have the wrong opinion, if you go to the wrong areas, if you don't pay your fines, really, this is too much power in the hands of the regime and the elites in any country. So in two places where they've tried to roll this out and test it, it was El Salvador and Nigeria, and they turned out to be complete disasters. In El Salvador, nobody even brought up the digital currency. You could buy a digital currency by selling some of your local currency. Nobody did. And they even gave people additional digital currency in the hope that they would embrace it. They didn't. In Nigeria, people have very little confidence in the system anyway. So when the system said, oh, here's the digital currency, people had even less confidence in it as well. However, Shabi, despite all the opposition, you're seeing the World Economic Forum, you're seeing central bankers, they are really pushing central bank digital currencies because that's a lot of power in the hands of these people.
And then what would you see actually... what does it take to actually replace the dollar? We have discussed questions around the discussions today, but what would it actually take to replace the dollar in the future?
So that's a good question, Shabi. I think, look, we shouldn't just look at the dollar as a currency. The dollar is a currency of a country that is the global superpower. That superpower had a global vision. That vision included setting up a global system, and that system has served it well. So the dollar was really a tactic, is one arm of many arms of this superpower nation. This global liberal order entered into a decades-long battle with the Eastern Bloc against communism. So you've got to view the dollar and its role like that. So if you want to replace the dollar, it's not just a matter of replacing the currency. You actually need to replace the country that underwrites it. So really, unless you have another power who has this view of the world, another power who's potential ideological power, then it can invite the world to this and it can actually showcase how its system is better. So the Soviet Union tried to do this with communism. Obviously, it wasn't as successful as the capitalist model as well. Now, it is possible, Shabi, that countries just don't trade in the dollar. They use other currencies, or they use the dollar alongside other currencies. That's fine. But that would mean that the role of the dollar in the world will reduce slightly, but it won't be completely removed. And because America's had the advantage of 50 years of building the architecture of the world around the dollar, and until you don't deal with America, you're not really going to be able to replace the dollar. So the way to replace the dollar is you need to replace America as a global superpower, and then you need to have an alternative system that everybody can sign up for the world as well.
Thanks for your time today, Adnan. If you want to learn more about the issues raised today, please check out the website www.thegeopolity.com. You can also learn more about other issues by accessing our website, where you will find comprehensive insights, analysis, articles, and deep dives. I'm Shabi. Thanks for listening.